Welcome to the porch, where, as the saying goes, we sit long, preferably with a companion, talk much, or little, depending on the mood, and laugh often. It's where we listen to the birds in the morning and the crickets at night. It's where we shoot the breeze, solve world problems, make music, and tell the occasional tall tale. Or we sometimes just sit for a spell and find rest for the soul. Here at the Collins home, we just call it porching.
Lazy afternoon, here in my heart, I know that it's true.
It's been a busy couple days, and I'm looking forward to some porch therapy with you. I'm Pam, also known as the Bee Lady, and today I've been thinking about a really fun week we had just the other day. The next best thing to owning a cabin on the lake is having a brother who does. We arrived in the dark, so it wasn't until morning that we caught our first sight of northern paradise. Ugh. The deep blue water, dotted with islands and surrounded by pristine shoreline of rocks and pines. We were at Lake Cabotogama. Packing sweatshirts and jackets felt crazy when it was 86 degrees outside, but oh, I'm glad we did. In addition to the change in temperature, a trip north also meant a change in the landscape. From the bluffs and rolling hills of southeast Minnesota to the jack pines and lichen-coated boulders of that forest-green country near the Canadian border. We stopped watching for mere deer and strained our eyes looking for black bear. We never saw one, but we knew they were there, and that was good enough. This is a bittersweet time of year up there. Resort after resort and cabin after cabin had closed for the season. Even the ducks, which visited daily looking for cracked corn, had deserted to warmer climes. But the deer, oh, they are a different story. Those dainty but hardy animals appeared out of nowhere come dusk, waiting patiently at the edge of the clearing, and even peering in the windows on occasion, because they knew that those kind-hearted humans, the ones who chose to stay even when the weather turned a cold corner, would be filling their feeders with corn and other delicacies for their four-legged friends. Up north, everyone within a few miles is a close neighbor, and they look out for each other, helping out with this project and that, knowing it would be reciprocated at some point, or maybe not, but it doesn't matter because that's just what you do. And since we were so close to the falls, we meandered over to that town known throughout the country for its notably cold temperatures every winter. But this was a beautiful sunny day. Well, as long as you were wearing a jacket. We poked around a bit and then checked out nearby Rainier. And it's an up-and-coming tourist village that looked right across the lake into Canada. We met Tara of Tara's Wharf and the iconic Woody Woods. His larger-than-life reputation preceded him as we visited his Move On real estate company, and he told us all about the islands he had listed for sale. He didn't happen to have his teeth in at the moment, but it didn't matter. We sipped his very own Woody Woods Fairly Reliable Canadian Rye Whiskey And he proudly told us how his Woody Woods Fairly Reliable Fish Guiding Services held a record of returning 90.9% of their customers safely home again. We also met Captain Dan. Well, she wasn't exactly a person, although she was named after one. This hen froze her feet off last winter and hobbled around on stubs just fine, thank you. Like I said, it's a hardy bunch up there. Have you ever seen northern lights so bright that candy ribbon greens and whites and reds lit up the sky as dramatically as the 4th of July? Me neither. Because, well, instead, we got the moon. Ginormous and orange. It came peering over the horizon, sending a golden reflection rippling across the waters. It was so bright you could see the distant shoreline and walk on the dock without a flashlight. Coinciding with the grand lunar appearance, the bobber off the dock disappeared underwater, and the guys expertly reeled in and landed a good-sized muskie. We got a campfire going right along the shore, and I admit, it felt good. Took the chill off the northern Minnesota night air. The wind died down, and the water became as smooth as glass. The familiar call of the loons is silent now. They left last month, but coyotes and wolves remain. Stillness settled over the group. The quiet, broken only by the crackling of burning pine and the water faintly lapping on the rocks. Red sparks mesmerized as they ascended to the Big Dipper. Smoke permeated my clothes, and I knew it was a souvenir I'd smell when I'd unpack back home. This feeling of every muscle in your body melting into the cushions of the Adirondack chair. How do I define it? Contentment? Stinkin' happy? Sometimes, as I moan about the 6-hour drive it takes us to get there, I wonder, what in the world got into some of these people? I mean, what causes these die-hard cabin and resort owners to make their way up from Kansas and Iowa and even Texas, of all places? Making the trip multiple times every summer, sighing when they must leave, and eventually converting the seasonal cabin into a year-round home. This, I believe, is the reason these hardy folks make their way back up north from all parts every season. It isn't just to get away, although that is part of it. Rather, I think it's what they find. Hard work, yes, and camaraderie. Amid endless pines, rocks, water, and campfires, it's just so, well, dang peaceful. Welcome to the porch where, as the saying goes, we sit long, preferably with a companion, talk much or little, depending on the mood, and we laugh often. It's where we listen to the birds in the morning, and the crickets at night. It's where we shoot the breeze, solve world problems, make music, and tell the occasional tall tale. Or sometimes, we just sit for a spell and find rest for the soul. Here at the Collins home, we just call it porching.
Here in my heart, I know that it's true. Good things in life.
It's been a busy couple days, and I'm looking forward to some porch therapy with you. I'm Pam, also known as the Bee Lady, and today I've been enjoying the thriving cana jungle in the garden that I can see from my porch. When it comes to gardening, my mom never lost hope in me. She could have written the book on green thumb, and every summer visit includes a stroll through her bounteous gardens filled with vegetables and flowers that actually grow and thrive. All my adult life, she has given me plants. The guilt is palpable. Children. Now, they will let you know in no uncertain terms if their needs are not met. But ivy, spider plants, peace lilies simply shrivel and silently die for lack of care. Ask me, I know. Not that we haven't tried. With springtime enthusiasm, we'd till the ground, plant little seeds in straight rows, and give them water. And then, sometime halfway through the summer, we'd realize that the weeds had overtaken the sad little seedlings. But who has time when you're working and raising four kids? After collecting a few rogue bees and pulling some crazy misshapen carrots, Steve and the DR brush mower would finally bid the little garden patch farewell. But recently, I have made great strides in this area. It started with a rock garden and the discovery of hardy perennials. And then came the cannas. See, each year following the hard frost, my parents' green plants changed overnight into pale brown leaves and stems. They would dig up the bulbs, dahlias and cannas and gladiolas, and store them safely in the basement until spring. Hardy tulips and daffodils could stay in the ground. And I've even seen them pop up in the early spring right through the snow. 4 springs ago, she sent me home with 6 cana bulbs. I've always loved her canas. How cool is it? A plant with giant leaves that grows so tall. So I put my first canas in a circle in the ground. I watered them and I tended them. And miracle of miracles, they grew. They soon towered over my head. We watched from the porch as bees and hummingbirds feasted on the red flowers that shot out from the tops way into the late fall and until the first hard frost. Underground, the roots multiplied, and come fall, I dug up twice as many bulbs as I had planted in the spring. Each year there have been more. And then I discovered Horn Cana Farm, and even ordered a few exotic varieties online. This year, I planted over 80. And they all grew. And then some. The Cana Jungle became a community project, with grandkids helping to dig the holes in the dirt and carefully place the bulbs eye side up. And then we covered and marked the spot with a plastic fork. We watched with enthusiasm as the first shoots poked out of the ground. And then the leaves opened and grew easily an inch a day. They fill up a big chunk of the garden. And the kids and the cat love following the rock path we created between the big leaves. Watering help comes willingly, just as long as the 3 and 6-year-olds can hold the hose themselves to deliver the power shower. Although, with all the wonderful rain this year, it's given me a little bit of a break from watering those moisture-loving tropical plants. Now, this year, our cannas haven't grown quite as tall, and we're not sure why. Maybe in my exuberance I planted them too close together, or didn't water or feed them enough early on, I'm not sure. They may grow a little bit more, since they don't stop adding height until the red flower pops out on the top. But the tropical leaves are huge, and still worth celebrating. I'll never match the rows of beans, broccoli, cauliflower, tomatoes, and countless other flowers and veggies that seem to grow effortlessly under Mom's care. Weeding in the early morning, I've discovered, is satisfying, yet backbreaking. Oh, let's hear it for mulch. We put tomato plants in giant pots this year, and they have flourished, drooping with big old funny-shaping heirloom beefstock orbs. They provide a delicious, fresh-from-the-vine addition to our salads. And the hostas have grown so much, we'll have to divide them next spring. And I'm even sharing some cannas with the ladies at the senior center, and my daughter wants a few for her garden. Today, I'm deadheading the geraniums and petunias and waiting for the gladiolas to fully bloom. And I'm tickled that they popped up again from the bulbs I planted last year. There is a satisfaction and peace in this process. Plus, it's pretty. I'm finding a new happy place. The banana peppers, lilies, bee balm, and other assorted inherited plants remain alive and well. You didn't give up, Mom. You can be proud. Well, it's quiet here again tonight. The hummingbirds have been sipping nectar from the coral bells, and it won't be long until they'll be feasting on those bright red canna flowers. I was thinking about some great stories I'm itching to tell, mostly all true. But I'll save those for another time. But I hope you join me then. Fill a glass with your favorite beverage. Grab a chair. Don't forget the lumbar support. Put your feet up and come porch with me. Until we meet again, it's Pam Collins from The Porch, where memories are made and worries are few.